KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have fair skies. It's 44 degrees. Happy Halloween. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast for today is calling for it to be mostly sunny with a high of 65. Winds southwest this morning, becoming northwest this afternoon at around 15 to 20 miles per hour. In the news, a search warrant executed at around 8 a.m. Friday at a residence southwest of Villisca resulted in the arrest of a man and woman on drug charges. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said 46-year-old Michael Leo Pickens of Villisca was arrested for possession of methamphetamine with the intent to deliver, and 39-year-old Haley Ann Haynes of Villisca was arrested for possession of meth, second offense. Both were transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on bond. Montgomery County deputies were assisted during their search of the home by the Montgomery County K-9 Unit and deputies of the Mills County Sheriff's Office. Well, Iowa has had an increase of 2,374 positive COVID-19 test results from 10 a.m. Friday through early today. The IDPH says a total of 126,908 Iowans have tested positive since the beginning of this pandemic. Deaths since Friday's report amount to 9 for a total of 1,714, including one more in each of Harrison and Union counties since the last report. Positive confirmed cases of COVID-19 have jumped again in 6 area counties. In Cass County, there are 33 new cases for a total of 435, with 305 having recovered thus far. There are 91 more cases in Pottawatomie County, 22 additional cases reported in Harrison and Mills counties. Shelby County has 15 more cases. Audubon County, 14 additional positive test results. Montgomery County reports 12 new cases, and Adair County has 11. Other area counties have 10 or less new cases. You can see the entire list in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Now, the individual positivity rate in Iowa as of this morning is 13.1% compared to 12.9% yesterday, and the 14-day rolling average is 13.3% compared to 12.5% on Friday. O'Brien County leads the state in the percentage of positive cases at 24.5%. Harrison County places 5th on the list at 22%, and Cass County is at number 8 with 20.8% positivity rate. Hospitalizations are up again across the state from 606 on Friday to 630 today. ICU patients are up slightly to 153. Admissions are up modestly to 99, and there remain 55 Iowans on ventilator. Western and Southwest Iowa hospitals report 45 hospitalized, 11 in an ICU, 5 admissions, and 2 on a ventilator as opposed to 3 yesterday. Long-term care facility outbreaks are up to 81 as compared to 76 on Friday. There are 2,314 patients and staff at those facilities who have tested positive for the virus. 839 have died compared to 832 yesterday. 940 patients and staff have recovered from the effects of the virus. There have been 970,561 tests completed to date, with 841,992 coming back negative. The IDPH says 93,183 people have recovered from the effects of the virus. Well, the Harrison County Board of Supervisors has approved a countywide mask mandate, but the requirement won't be in place quite yet. Harrison County Public Health Administrator Brad Brake said the county is still figuring out the next steps. He said the document will be published in local newspapers this coming week and will likely take effect several days later.
For our schools that don't currently have a requirement in place, you know, it gives me time to talk through what that looks like for those schools.
Two school districts don't require masks on their own, but a countywide requirement forces them to. The requirement applies to schools and other indoor public settings like pharmacies, grocery stores, and hardware stores. There's no enforcement behind it, but Brake says he hopes it draws attention to how real the pandemic is in Harrison County.
If nothing else, people have learned more, and we will see an uptick in mask use until we have better measures that can protect our residents.
Some exemptions include people who are under 2 years of age and while someone is exercising. The county's coronavirus infection rate has stayed above 20% since October 9th. 3 of its 4 long-term care facilities currently have outbreaks. University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics is now rescheduling non-emergency surgeries and procedures as needed. The move started on Friday and was made as the state continues to see record-breaking numbers of COVID-19 hospitalizations. U of I HCC CEO Suresh Gunasekaran says they've had a number of increases in transfers from hospitals in the eastern region of the state in the past few days.
The key issue is that the transfers that we're getting are not just COVID patients. They're also really complex sick patients. And so that's a bit of what we've also been working through as well.
Gunasekaran says the hospital has not yet rescheduled any procedures. He said the 800-bed hospital has the capacity to take transfers now, but he says also he's concerned about what will happen if COVID-19 hospitalizations continue to increase.
If the next 4 weeks are like the last 4 weeks in terms of the level of increase we see day over day in terms of the infection rate and hospitalizations, I think we really do risk overwhelming the healthcare system.
In the past week, COVID-19 hospitalizations have surged well past 600 statewide, setting new records on nearly a daily basis. Well, trick-or-treating this year will be slightly different in the downtown Atlantic area. The candy cruise will take place from 2 until 4 this afternoon. Business owners or staff who are willing to dress up and park or sit in the parking stalls downtown will hand out candy to kids as they drive by with their parents, obviously. Everyone is encouraged to wear masks. Citywide trick-or-treating will be held from 4:30 until 6 p.m. And again, everyone is encouraged to wear a mask. Stay with your family members. Be safe and courteous. And give that 6-foot social distancing between groups of people as they come to the doors to collect candy. Atlantic Rising, in partnership with Hy-Vee, will continue to lead the Christmas box program this holiday season, despite the challenges 2020 has brought. On December 17th, members of the Atlantic Rising will help to fill and deliver boxes of food items families and individuals can use to cook Christmas dinner to those who have been nominated. To nominate a family or individual, if you're interested in volunteering, contact Atlantic Rising at 712-243-3017 or email the chamber at atlanticiowa.com. Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Bailey Smith said the program was started by the Atlantic JCs over 20 years ago and helps families and individuals in need of a Christmas dinner. Kelsey Bishorner, a program director of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce, said Atlantic Rising, along with volunteers, delivered boxes to 86 individuals and families last year. With the challenges of COVID-19 this year, she says we're expecting to see a significant increase in nominations this year. Bishorner said also the Trivia Night was continued this year as the organization's main fundraising event and saw another packed venue in February. With the expected increase in families served, she says we'll be reaching out to businesses and community members asking for donations and volunteers to help serve as many families as possible. Our community, Bishorner says, needs us more than ever and we're ready to put in the work. Bishorner says Atlantic Rising is proud to carry on this tradition of the Christmas box program, and we're thankful that we're able to partner with Hy-Vee and give back to the community in such a great way. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Mark Johnson, age 63, of Atlantic, died September 3rd at Iowa Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Mark Johnson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service is in charge of the arrangements. The family has requested masks be worn at today's service. Charles Wooster Jr., age 89, of Manila, died Sunday in Harlan. Funeral services for Charles Wooster Jr. will be today at 11 o'clock at the Calvary Baptist Church in Manning. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has the arrangements. CDC guidelines will be observed at all times, and social distancing and wearing of masks is highly suggested. Lynn Harold Jacobson, age 72, of Oakland, died Thursday at his home. Graveside services for Lynn Jacobson will be today at 2 o'clock in the Oak Hills Cemetery at Hancock. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Charlene Swain, age 75, of Griswold and formerly of Lewis, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Celebration of life services for Charlene Swain will be on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And the family has requested masks be worn during the service and visitation. Walter Hare, age 98, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Private immediate family only services for Walter Hare will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. The service will be live streamed on Emmanuel Lutheran's Facebook page. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. Stephen A. Christensen, age 67, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Stephen Christensen will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Edward Lee Parsons, age 85, of Audubon, died October 23rd at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Ed Parsons will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon, with a luncheon to follow. Aaron Rabarchek, age 35, of Atlantic, died October 7th at his home. Services for Aaron Rabarchek will be on Saturday, November 7th, that's next Saturday, at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Marcella Gaines, age 81, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Marcella Gaines are private. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. There will be a public viewing at the funeral home on Monday from 12:30 until 1:30 p.m. John Jennings, age 94, of Atlantic and formerly of Griswold, died Friday at Atlantic Specialty Care. A private family interment for John Jennings will be held. Rican Dune Funeral Home of Griswold is assisting the family. And Kenneth Lee Finnell, age 65, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Specialty Care. A private family interment for Kenneth Finnell will be held at Rican Dune Funeral Home of Oakland. He is assisting the family. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.